Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and our panel on this Veterans Day, the 11th of November. Very nice to have you with us. We welcome your comments, roundtable at wamc.org. If you want to comment on our webpage so the whole world, including us, can see it, all you have to do is go to wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. You'll see the section there for the panel for today, the 11th, and you can comment there, and we will receive those emails as well. wamc.org/roundtable, or you can email us directly at roundtable@wamc.org. Let me introduce our panel to you this morning. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Shalom.
Times Union Associate Editor Mike Spain.
Peace.
And Albany Journalism Professor and Investigative Reporter Rosemary Armeo.
I can't match it. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. All right. Well, a lot of different directions we can go in, and let us begin with the story about healthcare and about enrollment. I love the up and down nature of the story, but the Obama administration predicts significantly lower healthcare enrollment. The official word yesterday came out that they predicted Monday that the number of people with health coverage through the Affordable Care Act's insurance marketplaces will be significantly lower by the end of next year than previous government estimates. Health and Human Services Secretary Sylvia Matthews-Burwell announced that by the end of 2015, 9 million to 9.9 million Americans probably will be in health plans sold through the federal and state insurance exchanges created under the health fair law. The administration's expectations are as much as roughly 30% beneath the most recent prediction of the Congressional Budget Office that 13 million people will have health coverage through these exchanges next year.
You know, Joe, many times we have talked on this program about, why people who have the most to gain don't vote, for example. And now we have this full frontal onslaught against the Affordable Health Care Act by the people who want to discredit Obama. Well, if you say it again and again and again and again, pretty soon, people begin to believe it, including the people who can most benefit from it. I see a little bit of a look on Rosemary's face. I take it you don't agree with me?
I think there's some truth to that, but I just object to constantly absolving the Obama administration of blame in this. They had a ridiculous website that did not work. Ironically, now it's up and running and looks really good. I looked at it this morning, and people are turned off to it. They also were very happy that the numbers were very high last year and were perfectly content and having people like Alan Chartok at WAMC talk about 30 million people having health care that didn't before. And the truth was many of the people who signed up were not paying the bills and had to be bumped or were not qualified. That number was never real. And what now is a rollback is simply being realistic, which we should have been from the very beginning. Transparency is transparency.
Okay, but you're right about one thing, and that is that 30 million was the estimate of what the people who would be eligible. It certainly wasn't how many people signed up.
Check WAMC's transcripts. We have consistently used that as, of course, it's a great program. 30 million people now have coverage who didn't.
No,
it was never true.
I do remember. I think you're setting up a straw man here, Rosemary, to be honest with you. I do remember because so many times we have said that the potential is 30 million. But who knows?
Yeah. Well, with any kind of public policy, promulgating it requires you to set expectations and meet those expectations or exceed those expectations as part of the campaign, and certainly they lowballed it. So when they got 10 million people signed up, they could point to it and say, look how great this is. And you add that to the people who already had health care from their employer. And, it's a very positive thing. But like you said, there were a lot of people in there who weren't in it legitimately. There were some, immigrants who were not eligible who signed up for it. There were people who didn't pay their bills. And another reason why, which is a good reason why fewer people may sign up for it, or some people may not sign up for this particular exchange, is because they found work. They got jobs. And they have healthcare coverage from their employer.
And you might also point out, to be completely fair, is that the state exchanges did not work everywhere because they were under the control of Republicans who were trying to put down the program. So all of that is true.
Yeah,
but again,
exists.
The Democrats have not sent out a good message that this is where we really are. This is the good things. These are the bad things. So it always comes up like this roller coaster ride. Oh, they're up, they're down. But it's good or bad.
Sure,
go ahead, Joe.
Well, all right, so if you go into an electronics store and you buy a TV and they say, do you want the lifetime
guarantee?
The guarantee plan.
Right.
And you say, no. Well, when I was reading the Wall Street Journal this morning, I read that your company may go bankrupt by the end of the year. Maybe I'm not going to get the lifetime proven plan. Okay, so if you're a consumer and you are thinking about going on to healthcare.gov and sign up, and you know that this is going to the Supreme Court, you know that this is reaching a new a political front with both the Republican change in government, as well as just the fundamental problems of starting a whole new process, how eager are you going to be to say, yes, sign me up?
No, I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right, except I don't think it's an intellectual process. In other words, I don't think people are saying, well, you know, if this happens, then that happens. And I'm because most people, half the country doesn't vote. More than half the country doesn't
That's
vote,
right.
for example.
No, but I think the word's out for people, even the agencies that would put people in charge, are hesitant because of all of these challenges.
Well, you're right.
Because they don't know that it's...
Well,
it's
right.
gotten some really bad publicity, legitimately, I agree, mm-hmm. Rosemary.
And illegitimately.
Well, yes. There's been some completely unfair and incorrect assertions made about it. But the rollout was botched. We all remember the stories we were talking
sure.
about a year ago. It's interesting, Joe, that you use the metaphor or the example of someone going in an electronics store, because I've heard the quote that Americans spend more time picking out a flat-screen TV than they do picking out a health care plan.
Sure.
Or picking out a candidate.
Yes, in that case, right? But
I would argue it's easier, though.
Yes, it is, right?
It is.
It's more fun, I got to tell you.
Yeah,
it is
fun.
But,
there's also dissatisfaction with, let's go back to the beginning liberal position. We need universal one-party health care. That would, yeah. there would
right.
be none
Didn't
of
happen.
This discussion at all.
Didn't happen.
And that seems like completely off the table now. I'm so sad about that.
Well, yeah, I think many of us, especially people who listen to this radio station, judging from our mail and other things, are angry about that. I still think to this day that if Obama had come in when he came in and used all of his capital on a single-payer plan, he would have succeeded or he would have come close. And he would have gotten tremendous credit for this. But he should have looked at Hillary's plan. Which was, you know, a Rube Goldberg type of operation, if there ever was one. This one goes to this one, and then this one goes to that one, and it didn't work, and everybody was totally confused, and it didn't happen. And then we sort of did it again. But as we have said so often, a lot of people are getting health care now who never got it, and this ticks off. I said it before. I'll say it again. A lot of people in the middle class who just are saying, you know, why should we take care of them? Which makes me crazy, but is the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I also think something going on here is that they're lowering expectations with the hope that they will exceed it. The Congressional Budget Office is fairly neutral.
Yeah.
You know, they're not partisan. They're based on actuarial predictions and proven accounting methods. And they're saying that 13 million people will have health care through these exchanges next year, but the administration is lowballing that. So when they do come in at 11,
I'll hope it'll
above the 9 that they're predicting, they can say that. And, you know, part of any public policy is to carry on a campaign and do a lot of rah-rah. And they really need to... after all the Democratic candidates abandoned the Health Care Act during their campaigns.
And lost.
You know, somebody's got to carry water for it, even though it is flawed, mm-hmm. no question.
Was it CNN? Maybe you could look this up, Joe. Did a really interesting poll asking people's satisfaction with the health care plan that they have, whether it was employee funded or Medicare or Medicaid. and Obamacare. And the one that came out the most was our Medicaid, which worked.
Medicare.
I consistently Medicare. Do that. Medicare, mm-hmm. which is exactly what we're talking about. The
Medicare
universal single single pay. It works. You don't hear problems with efficiency. People are covered. They're protected.
And yet people run for Congress. And say, get rid of it.
Unbelievable. And they get people who are actually...
No, the one that did it the last time around didn't get elected in our region. And a physician who now denies she ever said it.
Charming. And yet there are many of Medicare recipients out there campaigning for candidates who are calling for its demise. Unbelievable.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue. We'll talk about other issues. We will get to a letter or two as well. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also post your comments for the world to see at WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. We'll be back after this short break. Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. You can also go to our website for the world to see. It's WAMC.org/roundtable. WAMC.org/roundtable. And you can click there and post your comment and we can read that as well. So we would love to have you do that. We have letters. Let us get to them.
Okay. I'm going to read them. I can only tell you what I don't know. I can read the letters. We can read the letters. But we're not always sure whether the facts of the letters are correct. Right? Am I right about that, guys?
We don't have a fact-checking team simultaneously going through, is what you're saying.
Carlene says, I just learned that my 2015 Medicare Advantage Plan health insurance premium will be almost triple what it was, went down. I'm just reading it the way it was. Again, I'm going to read that sentence. I just learned that my 2015 Medicare Advantage Plan health insurance premium will be almost triple what it was went down.
She's talking about a supplemental plan you can get to enhance Medicare coverage.
Right, right. Copays went up coverage this year. Yesterday, I met with a professional plan evaluator, not affiliated with any insurance company. She said that Medicare reduced the amount it pays providers to help defray the costs of Obamacare. Is that true? I don't know.
I've heard that assertion. Medicare has lowered the reimbursement rates to physicians and hospitals, and they're complaining about it.
Yeah. And many physicians will tell you they're not paying enough. Right. So it's not always that it's lowered.
As anything goes, any cost, when you have a private plan and you find your copay goes up, people are blaming Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
In
many cases, it's just that it's a very complex system that's costing a lot.
James said, to paraphrase Frank Zappa, Obamacare isn't dead, it just smells funny. Hey, Republicans, don't repeal it, just fix it. Jim in Montgomery. And then, dear panel, 4 years ago my health insurance was almost $20,000 a year. Now it is just over $8,000. Obama is my hero, says Mark.
That may be not because of Obamacare either, but it's nice.
It's okay to have heroes.
Ryan says, will you be discussing the president's stance on net neutrality today?
It is on the list.
It's on the list.
It is on the list.
Okay.
Listening to us over broadband, hopefully you'll hear it.
Yeah. It was a huge announcement and changed a lot of people's views on the president. Carlene. We read Carlene already. Okay, this is a good one, I really think, from Jeffrey. Hello, colleagues. I like that. Colleagues, because we are all colleagues. We're all in this together. Okay. How many of the problems with implementation and with the law itself were a function of the horse trading that had to take place to get the law passed? Don't you like that one? That's true.
It was unduly complicated.
Yes.
Because they weren't all colleagues.
That's right.
And Men's Warehouse says
we didn't have skillful horse trading. Let me add, horse trading is part of the job
with leadership.
With leadership
and
spending
political capital, like Alan said.
Exactly, all of that.
Back at the Men's Warehouse.
Men's Warehouse, where was that going?
Well, no, you hear from them every day, and from their opponent, and they're trying to buy each other. You see, so they offer these deals and deals and deals. Okay, all right. Now, Shelley says, "Okay, I really do not mind helping those who are truly in capital letters in need, But anybody who thinks that all people who claim they need help actually need it, you are kidding yourselves. A minimum of 50% of the people who collect off the system are just lazy. My health insurance rates went from $1,300 a month to over $1,400 a month. Another friend of mine has deductibles go from $500 to $2,000. Others have had their rates double. This is not okay. They are making hardworking middle-class people pay extra for those that take more than their fair share from the system. And that's from Shelley. Did I mention something about this earlier?
I think I did. Proof you that a minimum of 50% of the people who collect off the system are just lazy.
Yeah. How do you prove
that?
Well, it's probably in the single digits.
Yes, would be my guess, but...
Like the welfare queens of the Reagan administration that proved to be mostly fake.
See, I truly understand this. I know how this thing works. The people at the top are always sort of targeting the folks at the bottom who are getting something in the system. The beauty of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and, frankly, the New York Times and others are that they understand if you take everything away from everybody, if you don't provide health care, if you don't let them live in a house, what's going to happen is you got real trouble sooner or later.
We are out of time for this break, but we have plenty of time on our breaks on the other side of the newscast, so we will hold our conversation till then. We welcome your comments in the meantime, roundtable at WAMC.org. Also go to our website, WAMC.org/roundtable. Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable panel. We love hearing from you, roundtable at WAMC.org. You can post your comments onto our website so the whole world can see them.
Right.
You know, World Wide Web.
Right.
Operative word being web. And you go to WAMC.org/roundtable and you'll see 1111 panel and you just click on that and you can comment to your heart's content until we tell you that you're out of characters. While you're doing that, let us, you want to check in? You want a couple letters there, Alan, and then we'll move on to another subject?
All right. Let's see. Luca says, loading. It's still loading.
All right. Well, we can move on.
Okay. No, let's do something else. So Timothy says, so right, everybody knows, everybody understands that any opposition to the president's health insurance overhaul is all about a generalized animosity towards the poor. And by poor, I'll bet Alan means black. Congratulations to Alan for being free of that animosity. And thanks for keeping the argument simple for your listening audience. That's very nice. Thank you. I think that's nice, but I'm not smart enough to know if it's really nice. I think it's nice. Okay. Leslie says, good morning, Roundtable. Though I do not own a television, I would say at least when purchasing a television, one can see exactly the difference between various brands and models immediately. There are even sales because of competition. And if there's a problem, you can bring the television back to the store for credit or exchange. The retailer aims to please. With the purchase of healthcare, as they say, the devil is in the details and you hold your breath when you need to use it. That's when all the problems and details in the legalese surface and when you're basically stuck. Forget trying to return it for credit or exchange. And that's from Leslie. And Tony is on net neutrality.
We'll get to that.
Okay. And James says, healthcare. I'm not so sure why Republicans are so against it. Isn't it Obamacare, the same or close to the health care plan they, the Republicans, were proposing a few years ago, and that Mitt Romney, their presidential candidate, invented in Massachusetts, may I say?
I believe that's correct.
Yes, okay. Seems like bad grapes that Dems got credit. I don't think it's the best thing we could do, but it has helped me, young 20-something, get insurance. And thanks, Table. I love that. Thanks, Table. And I guess, Joe, that's it. Did you see anything else?
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's move on to other topics. Mike, we were mentioning this. I don't remember if it was on the air or just in this room, but we were talking about the situation in Saratoga Springs where the Saratoga County Sheriff's Sergeant resigned Monday as he was charged with official misconduct and harassment after a video was posted on the Internet over the weekend that purportedly captured him slapping a man whose car he wanted to search. Anyone who has seen the video, I think, could agree that it was a bit ugly.
Mm-hmm. I saw it.
I don't know how else you would describe it, Mike. And I guess the big surprise, at least for me, was that he went down as quickly as he did.
Yeah, he was suspended right away as soon as the sheriff, Mike Zirlo, who is the new sheriff, he took office earlier this year, succeeded a long-term, three-decade almost sheriff in Saratoga County, and this may have been his first big test. But Mike Zirlo suspended him right away as soon as the video was posted on the internet. And then on Monday morning, the sheriff, Sean Glanz, Sergeant Sean Glanz, resigned. And later in the day, the sheriff announced that he would bring charges against the deputy, Sean Glanz, for harassment and official misconduct. And so he had to be arraigned in Half Moon, town of Half Moon Court. That's the municipality where the incident took place over the weekend, early Saturday morning, I believe. And what essentially happened was a friend of this fellow who had the car with a rifle lying on the back seat of the locked car. A friend used his smartphone to kind of surreptitiously record the interaction between the sheriff and the car owner, where the sheriff deputy can be heard using profane language and ordering him to let him in the car, and he declines.
Is there a slap involved in this?
And then there's, you can see the deputy lean forward. You can hear a slapping sound, but the way that the camera was being held, you can't see it. But even the sheriff in his press conference yesterday acknowledged that the deputy did slap the individual. He said that's inappropriate, and he had no part of it. So
now, can I just some of the greatest words ever written in the Times Union, I believe. I love this more than anything else. Glanz told the Times Union Saturday that he was concerned about public safety after seeing the gun in the car, but, and this is what I love, he would have acted differently if he knew he was being videotaped.
And I think that is the crux of it.
That's a shocker, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I knew you were taking a picture of me, maybe I wouldn't have
slapped
you.
Well, he said it looks bad. And he knows how bad it looks. But this is the way that some police officers use their force and use their persuasion of their position in a situation like this to get people to do what they want.
Uh-oh.
Now,
uh-oh.
Now let me
Rosemary looks like she's going to get herself into trouble.
Let me bring Rosemary in from the ceiling and bring her down into the chair so she can comment on this matter.
This case is exactly why I have previously expressed concerns about videotaping policemen. This is not Ferguson. This man did something wrong and deserves discipline. Firing or being forced to leave, which looks like what is happening. That's just crazy.
Why?
Because he had two men and a gun in the car, and when they were back-talking him, he gave him a slap in the head. I'm sorry, I have to say, I think I've done worse to my own teenage sons.
Okay, but if a teacher did it to your teenage son?
I would understand the teacher. I would want him disciplined, but off the force, this man has 27 years of experience. Yes, he says if he knew he was being videotaped, he'd do something differently, of course. But it was the heat of the moment. It was a dangerous situation. This is not Ferguson.
Rosemary.
And he's going to face charges, that guy in Ferguson who killed a teenager.
He's a sergeant. That's the first thing you got to know. A sergeant, that's a leader in that group, number one.
He didn't do something so horrible.
But doesn't this argue in favor of using video cameras, like lapel videos for officers? Because if it forces them to behave in a more civil way and less abusive way, it achieves something.
I sort of have that theory, and I've thought about this and said, yes, if that had been seen by his superiors and he was disciplined. But it goes immediately onto social media network, and we have a kangaroo court. And that's what happened against this man.
And may I just point out, in addition to my profound point, which nobody responded to, about his being a sergeant and therefore should have really known better.
An experienced officer, a veteran officer.
But sergeant, you get there because... But then also, don't you have to give some credulence to the idea that you get a new sheriff who wants to draw a line in the sand?
It's a hard line. He's taking a hard line against this guy.
Nobody's going to do this in my department from now on.
You know, you all have argued against me in the past that the police have a hard job, and this is a you're thinking right away, and you don't always do the right thing. And I believe that's what happened here. Do I think he should get off scot-free and we give him a medal? No, but he's off the force.
Wait a second.
We've lost all this experience.
Wait a second. Here's the sergeant. Well, all this experience, but what is the experience? Here's the sergeant. Wasn't there Mike? Wasn't there another police officer there?
Yes, there was.
With him at the time.
Yep.
Now, what's he teaching the new guy? The
Any
new
other
guy?
Charges against this guy for they, brutality?
The
in
sheriff
the past?
Said that
yeah.
they.
There was, but there was charges
against
the officer.
The other
in the
officer.
Past.
Oh, this.
The other,
no, this officer Glanz
no,
was
no,
involved
no.
In,
okay.
a, in a motor vehicle accident for which there was a judgment that he wasn't.
Okay.
There were no charges.
So
okay.
let's
see.
We really are once again. You
but
know,
the only time is
hurting his name.
But the only time there's a reality, right? The only time there's a reality is when it's on videotape. In other words, it's like Superman with the two different worlds.
There's no way I disagree that we need more training and constant training because it is a hard job and the risk is getting greater. But I think that the video inflames rather than leads to better training.
Well, we talked to a criminal defense attorney in the Albany area, Terry Kindlin, over the weekend, and he was in the story Brendan Lyons wrote over the weekend, and it. He basically said that most vehicle searches are conducted in complete disregard of the Fourth Amendment. And then every once in a while, you know, something like this happens where somebody catches it on video.
Well, Rodney King is the
hardly the same.
No,
hardly.
The point is the proof. Otherwise, the presumption always goes that the police officer is right.
Word against word. Who wins?
Yeah.
I'm still stuck on the there is a conduct that you expect from an officer on your force. And if you have proof that that conduct has not been followed, is it not your duty to do something about it?
Well, I live in the town of Great Barrington. Sure. I got to tell you, it's a very good police force now, but it wasn't always. And we had a couple of tough guys. I got to tell you, that kind of thing can get out of control and fast.
Yeah, I'm sort of taken, I kind of agree now with Rosemary on a very significant point. What this guy did in context was not acceptable. It was inappropriate. And he's being vilified, all over the place.
Right.
And then you have the guy in Ferguson, and he may not face as serious a reprimand.
Well, true.
Yeah. But do two wrongs make a right? No.
No, not a bit. But let's look at it in scale.
It's not a matter of wrongs. Yeah. It's a matter of how do we deal with the problem that we have police who we rightly have given lots of power to it, and now we have to control whether they're using that power in the right way. It makes me upset that we found out about this from a video, not from the other officer who was with the sergeant. How come he wasn't saying to his guys, hey, is that right?
Well, I agree with you on that.
I don't.
But what?
No, I don't agree with her. Because we found out. The point is, we found out. If if it had been done this way as opposed to that way.
No, but she's right that if you have, because then that means you have two officers that are complicit in doing it. And if you have the other officer saying what you do.
No, she's right.
What you're doing is wrong, and I feel you should be reported.
Yes,
But
Joe, here's where we disagree. I think what Rosemary is saying, and she can certainly speak for herself on this, is that if I had heard it from the other guy, then maybe discipline would have been appropriate. But in fact, we now know it, and it's beyond doubt. And therefore, it isn't either or. It isn't if we had done this, then it would have been appropriate. Rosemary, if your kid, I know how you love your boys, but if your kid was in that high school, and some teacher didn't like what they said and really whacked them hard.
If my kid had a gun in school like this kid had a gun in the backseat of the car, I don't think I would be upset that the teacher slapped him in the back of the head. He didn't punch him. He didn't shoot him six times in the head like the officer in Ferguson did. He slapped him in the back of the head. It was not right. I never, ever have said there should be no discipline. But this man lost his job over it. That does not seem right to me.
Okay. Craig says, a few weeks ago, Rosemary argued that she taught her sons never to strike a woman.
Right.
I wish she would keep her sexism in check while on the radio.
Oh, brother.
Okay.
Sorry, striking these bratty kids in the head for having a gun is not the same as striking a woman.
Okay.
That's sexism.
Okay, Joel wants to know, I always side with the police, but after watching this video, it is completely insulting. Did Rosemary see the video?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You don't see the slap, actually.
We made that clear.
Well, you know. Yeah.
Hi, I can't believe Rosemary thinks the cop is being treated wrong. Police officers have the ability to limit, remove our constitutional rights, search, arrest, etc. Not to mention injure or kill us if things go wrong. This means they should, in capital letters, be held to a higher standard. In this case, the bar is low. Get a warrant if you have reasonable suspicion. Citizens are not required to agree to a search. Getting worked up over that is beyond unprofessional. He didn't need training. He needed to act like a professional. And that's from Russell. Okay.
I agree that the deputy's behavior was not professional.
I agree, too.
I think everybody does.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah. Ah.
Okay. Well, Ted sort of agrees with you. He said he may have been fired based on this. And
he wasn't fired. He actually resigned.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it was under pressure.
He resigned. No, there are lots of ways to fire people, right?
Yeah. Right.
He may have been fired based on this and past work performance. We don't know if there were past incidents with this officer.
That's right. We don't know that.
Okay.
We have looked for it, though, at the Times Union.
And Bob says, Rosemary is an apologist. Wrong is wrong. And Robert says, I can't tell you what he says because at the first sentence he says,
is
I'd
he
like to remain
at
anonymous.
Me? Oh, dear.
It's on another issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. And Carrie says, hello, folks. I've known good cops. They don't behave this way. He deserves to be off the force. Carrie. And then says something from Nathaniel Hawthorne, which we'll pass over right now. And then there's an ad from Harry Shoes. And then Tony says, thank you, Armeo, for Saratoga Cop Common Sense, says Tony. But no, that's all. That's good.
Succinct.
Yeah, succinct and good. Okay, that's what I got.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back, and I'm pretty sure at the rate they're coming in, we'll have more letters by the time we come back, and then we'll try to slip in another subject
as
well.
We have to talk about veterans on this very important Veterans Day.
Absolutely. We'll be back right after this short break. Here we go. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. We're on the air.
Were we on the air?
We were on the air. That's all right.
During my comment?
My story? Toward the tail end of your comment.
Yeah,
you're all right. Watch those lights, Alan. Do you want to get to a couple more letters? And then
You say, boss. It's all your fault. Okay. All right. Okay. Eric says,
the Saratoga cop story has touched a nerve,
yes,
I would say.
I had a feeling it might. Ray calls, not this Ray. I disagree with Rosemary's opinion on the Saratoga cop. He should be fired and charged with assault for slapping the young man. We have a national problem with police abuse and we should address it. I wonder how Rosemary would feel if she was slapped by a cop during a traffic stop. I have lost a lot of respect for Rosemary after hearing her support an abusive cop. That's Ray. Well, having Rosemary here.
Can I just say one thing about what Rosemary what Rosemary said is that these guys, you know, would they have backtalked and been as if they weren't videotaping and knew that they had the upper hand?
It's a really interesting question.
They knew, and the cop did not know. Right. Yeah. And they were mouthing off.
Maybe they were leading the witness a little bit.
And there's no question about it. You know, what, are you going to interrogate me next? I mean, they were obviously playing with fire because they knew they had the upper hand by videotaping, I believe,
using your superior intimidating force to get what they wanted. No, I don't believe they would have done it with women in the car. I don't think they would have had to. But it isn't for us to decide. We're sitting here debating what his motivations were. This is now, not the way you handle discipline in any unprofessional behavior by your employee.
The only thing that I add to what I just said is that it did seem to start out that way, that he came in with a definite, the police officer came in with a definite attitude. But, anyway.
Well, Eric says, according to Rosemary, the police officer's just judge, jury, and executioner. She is incorrect. Data store bought rifle. I'm just reading the words.
Incorrect. Data store bought rifle.
So, she is incorrect. Data store bought rifle is what the words are.
Yes.
Where is in?
Well,
No, she's saying she incorrectly did it. But it was a store-bought rifle.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There is no probable cause. Police officers for decades have been taking people out of their Fourth Amendment right. This has been proven across the country. If he was older or had hunting clothes on, would she share her response to be the same? She called them punks. Why were they punks? Because the videotape, the cop talking someone out of their rights, as is the norm. I am outraged at her response. Stop being outraged. Just listen to the conversation. Wow. That's what I love about this program, and I love having Rosemary here. I don't agree with her on this, but that's what it's about. We're all here together, and we're all hashing this stuff out. That's what's great about it. I am outraged, she says. Okay. I seriously look at our rights and the police duty to uphold them for us. Hey, they work for us. Okay. And Emily says, hello, panel. I really appreciate Rosemary's contribution to the show, but I think she got it completely wrong this time. Very important, Emily. I love you. Yes, being a police officer is a hard job. So is being a surgeon. But we don't make allowances for doctors who break the rules several times within a few minutes. I think everyone in society, police and citizens alike, need to be aware that keeping cool and acting in accordance with the law while enforcing it is part of the job. There is a well-documented history of cops acting as if they are above the law in this country, and I don't agree with that striking these bratty kids is a minor offense. It's a major one. And does this qualify this man from being in law enforcement? And Andrew says, if ever we the people would like the taxpayer-funded people to be responsible, I would love to see a reform of a pension system more in line with our government military pension after a system that only allows benefits after an honorable discharge. To the good worker of the state, this would mean nothing, but to those who abuse the system as this officer, and you remember of Schenectady High School, resigned to keep their pensions. I don't like to read names when I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. And then Alan says, try being a person of color and be in the situation that is now, and this is how things escalate and violence ensues and someone gets shot. And Jim says, with all due respect, there are times you have to wonder if Rosemary, I'm not going to read that one. We don't like that one. No, civility is really important. And I don't like it when people are uncivil. I'll be honest with you. I truly agree with you, Rosemary, and I still do a little. But if you think this was the first time this cop tried to illegally intimidate someone, then I've got weapons of mass destruction in Iraq to sell you. P.S. There is nothing wrong with having a hunting rifle in plain view of the backseat. I'm really glad he said that because it's true. If you have a hunting rifle in the backseat, and it's
we're in a Walmart parking lot, okay?
Yeah. I'm a little worried about that. Yeah, I don't know.
Rick makes a point and has, we have to wrap up.
One last thing, if I can. I'm a 27-year law enforcement veteran. This conduct is unacceptable, period, wrong.
Thank you very much. We'll see you tomorrow on the Roundtable panel.
Happy Veterans Day to all of our wonderful veterans who have done so much for this country.